a gift from God. Moms are a gift from God. I want to say it one more time. Moms are a gift from God. Amen. That's a big gift. That's an awesome gift from God. I'm walking over to my wife this morning, and you know, it's hard to disconnect wife from mom. But on the other hand, I think about and have studied moms, the gift of mom to the body of Christ, to each family represented here this morning, and I think about some things. I think about those things that were just talked about in this job this morning, but I think about how blessed we are with moms. The other night, the President of the United States was giving an advance Happy Mother's Day message to the citizens of the U.S. of A. And his wife was with him. And he turned to her and he said something like, I wonder why we celebrate in such a big way Mother's Day. And Father's Day is hardly even mentioned. And she turned to him and she said, "You don't know?" And he said, "Well, no, I don't. I don't understand this. How come fathers don't get the big play that mothers do, you know? I mean, we hardly get cards and Father's Day goes by and we hardly, you know." And she said, "Well, here's the answer." She said, "Father's Day is every other day of the year, just not Mother's Day." Anyway, I didn't say I said that, but I thought it was kind of cute, and in a kind of a way, it's true. And so we appreciate our moms this morning. And we appreciate that God gave us the gift of mom in each of our lives, the gift of mom. And so this morning, I wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to my wife. And when I think about and look at the scripture with you this morning about moms, you'll appreciate your mom even a whole lot better too. I began to walk through the word a little bit and find all the things that moms are, and it's much bigger than we've already seen on the screen this morning. Happy Mother's Day, moms and grandmoms this morning. Happy Mother's Day. So I want to do a bit of a study with you this morning. I want us to start with 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 15. You know, there are lots of gifts in the body of Christ that pertain to both men and women, but mom doesn't. Mom is a specific God-given role exclusively given to women. But there are some things that women benefit by this gift of motherhood too, that the Bible talks about. And I did not want to, I don't want this to be a negative, I want this to be a positive right here. So here in the Word this morning, chapter 2, verse 15 of Timothy, 1 Timothy, but women will be saved through childbearing. That's the word. I didn't make it up. Women will be saved by childbearing, assuming they continue to live in faith and love, holiness, and modesty. Sorry, dear. My wife is preaching to me from the front row, and I missed what she had to say. So should I just keep missing it? Yeah, praise the Lord. So hear me this morning. There are specific things that God says that motherhood does, and this one in particular, women will be saved through childbearing. There's something specific, something awesome that happens in a woman's life when she bears children. And so the word saved doesn't mean, that you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life at the time of childbearing, but there's something way big about childbearing for a woman, and it's awesome. And so and I'm thankful, and I've seen it. I've seen it. I haven't experienced it, but I have definitely seen it. I've seen it with Joan. When she had the twins, I saw something supernaturally happen on the inside of her. The moment that she knew that she was about to bear, especially twins, while we were shocked at the time, on the other side, I saw something begin to happen on the inside of her heart. And it was it took days, and yes, even weeks, a preparation time, something that God was doing on the inside of her. As she continued in the Word and continued to pray and kept her life right around childbearing, there was something that downloaded. And I think every man here sees it in his wife's life that as she's childbearing. Something, a new grace, a new something that comes on that's wonderful and that's awesome. And so I read that and I say, but women will be saved through childbearing. And I recognize what it is that the Spirit of the Lord is saying. There's something big that happens to that gift as she gets ready to bear children. You know that in today's world, children are sometimes thought of as a nuisance. There are young women that think about all the problems that go with childbearing, the inconvenience of it all. There are lots of, when I see the statistics out there about, you know, the women and families that choose not to have children, that choose to do away with children and all of that, there are lots of unwanted children and so on. But God talks about the blessings of childbirth. Yeah. God talks about the blessings that are given to us when children come God's way. And so I want us this morning to go for a minute to Psalms and chapter 27 and verse 3. Is it on the screen? Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I'll remain confident. What's that got to do with childbearing? Did I give you the wrong scripture here? Psalms 127 and verse 3. Psalms 127 and verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from Him. Children are a gift from the Lord. Motherhood is a gift. What comes from motherhood is a gift as well. They're not just children. We just had a child. We just received a gift from Almighty God. That's important, isn't it? How we view our children. Children are absolutely a gift from God. And so, you know, sometimes they're bad. They're still a gift from God. Sometimes they're unruly. They're still a gift from God. Sometimes they don't do what they're told to do. They're still a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. And it's part of what God's plan is for the family. It's a big deal. I want us to see and recognize this, that according to the Word of God, motherhood is vital for the home. And it's further designed to cause the home to be able to succeed and thrive. I want also to say this to you, that motherhood is so big, it has to be learned. You know, a lot of us may think, well, motherhood is something that is just on the inside of a woman and she just knows how to raise up children and all of that. No, according to the Word of God, it needs to be learned. Anyway, let's go to Titus chapter 2. and verse 4. It says, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. In the world around us today, there are lots of women who don't know how to respond to their children, to lead their children and all of that. And so motherhood has to be, it's a learned thing. Well, you may say, well, nobody taught me. Well, what was the example like that you grew up under? What was it like in your home? What was it like in your relations to your mother? What did you see, ladies? And don't you think there was a teaching experience involved? So it's not just inbred, but it must be learned according to the Word of God. There are lots of ladies in the world that abuse their children. How many know that? And so that shows us again that motherhood must be learned. And a lot of times, young women who abuse their children were abused themselves coming along the way. That was the experience, the learning that they had in the home that they grew up in. On the other hand, how many know that it's still important in today's world and with everything, all the pressures that there are on marriages and on women in particular, we need to be considering raising up our children, training our children, especially our young ladies, to be good mothers. Let's go to, let's stay with Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 for a minute. But let's think about how to learn how to meet the responsibilities of wife and mother. Again, it says here, these older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Even the learning to love husbands and loving children is an important thing. So these are responsibilities of women in today's world. And a lot of times, we would like to take those responsibility and place them over on men. And when we get to Father's Day, we get to read what it is that men's responsibility are, and their responsibilities are much bigger than society teaches us to. The Spirit of the Lord shows us over and over again in the Word what the responsibility of dad is and what the responsibility of husband is. This morning we're talking in particular about the responsibilities of womanhood, of motherhood, and so we're centering in on that this morning, but I just wanted us to reach into the Word a little bit this morning and find what it is that the Spirit of the Lord says the responsibilities of wife and mom are. You know, when a mom spends time in the Word of God, when a mom reads Bible stories to her children growing up, that's such a big deal. It gets all over the kids, and you'd be amazed how that gets over their kids and their great-grandkids and so on into the future. So what we need to do, and man, this is a little jab for us, we need to teach our children to appreciate their moms every day. We really do. We may show it, but we need to teach our children to appreciate moms, because moms are a gift from God. Sure, quiet in here this morning. You notice how quiet it is? Men, husbands, fathers, would you turn around for a minute and wish your wife a happy Mother's Day today? Still very quiet. Did you do it out loud? Oh, she knows that already? Somebody said she knows already. So let's turn to Exodus for a minute, can we? Exodus chapter 2. This is about the birth of Moses. About this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Before we read any further into this, let me say the overall context, of course, is that, you know, there's been a law made, right? And Hebrew children were supposed to be put to death. And so as a result, chapter 2 takes place. This man and woman, they've gotten married. The woman becomes pregnant, gives birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months so that he wouldn't be killed according to the edict. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus knee reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to him. First of all, a common thing and an understanding thing is that moms give life. But at the same time, in thinking about the world that's around us today, here's a statistic for North America. That's the United States and Canada joined together. 1.37 million moms decide to abort their children every year. 1.37. That's 3,700 a day in North America every day. But a godly mom gives life. A godly mom gives life. And another thing that we see in this illustration as we read from the Word of God is that moms protect life. Mom has found an ingenious way to protect that son of hers. And then she had faith. Boy, did she have faith. She had faith in God's provision for this son when she put him in that little basket and waterproofed it and set that little basket out from shore a little ways. And you had to know that she had heard from God, that she knew how to protect this son. And she had faith in God's provision as well. Mothers sustain life. I'm hoping that you're thinking some things this morning, even as I'm presenting this and looking through the Word of God. I'm hoping that you're considering what happened in your life and what's happening in your children's and grandchildren's lives today. But the gift of mom has so much in it. Moms have faith for their children. Yeah. And they just do. And it's part of the gifting that God gives. It's not something they have to work up. They just have it. It's just there. And so consider this. She gave birth to this child that in the world then should have been killed. But this is a supernatural mom. This room is full of supernatural moms this morning, and supernatural would-be moms too, by the way. And so she has decided that there's a way to protect that child, to sustain that child. She's got faith for it, and pretty soon the child is settled from shore in this little basket, but she's got faith that something good's going to happen. How did she know? Supernatural faith. Supernatural faith. Let's keep going a little bit here. Soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe at the river, and the attendants walked along the riverbank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. When the baby's sister approached the princess, "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" she asked. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mom. Take this baby and nurse him for me, the princess told the baby's mother. I'll pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and verse 23 for a minute. It connects to the same story. Interesting how it reads now about parents, just mom, but it says it was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. So this is what I see in the story. I see that moms give life, moms protect life. They have faith, a supernatural faith in God's provisions, all part of the gifting of mom. They protect life, they sustain life. Moms give, protect, and sustain the spiritual life of their children. I want to ask a question this morning. I believe prayers. I've seen moms that don't even know the Lord Jesus pray over their children, haven't you? There's something on the inside of motherhood, of a mom, that will pray over their child even if they don't have a relationship with Almighty God. And so I see some things here. I see that moms give. I see moms protect. I see them sustain and pray over the whole spiritual life of their children. I want to ask you, what did you pray for? Or what are you praying for if you're pregnant? What did you pray for in the life of your child while you were first having the child or while you were pregnant waiting on the child? What did you pray for? I know that everybody prays for their child to be healthy, right? That just happens. Did you pray about whether they were a boy or a girl? You pray you wanted a boy or you wanted a girl? Let me ask if you prayed that they would, all the days of their lives, be devoted to God. It's a big deal, isn't it? That they would love God. That they would all the days of their lives follow His commands. Do things His way. Can I say that moms and dads, even though your children are born and you're raising them now in your home, that's something that should be a prayer over your children. That they might all the days of their lives live lives that are devoted unto God. There's a lady in the Bible by the name of Hannah. How many know the story of Hannah? Let's go to 1 Samuel. I hardly know where to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 1 here, but Let's maybe start at the top. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuf in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Oboi. Anyway, sons of all those. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons?" Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. As she made this vow, "Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." It's a precious story. It's too bad that things happened the way they did in the beginning, but as the story progressed, this is a mother that dedicated her son to the Lord and kept her vow that's important too. What we do is we tend to dedicate our children to the Lord but not follow quite through at the other end. But here's a lady that followed through. And so I want to say this to you. Her goal was to say, "Lord, I really want the blessing of a son in my life. There's a need here, and I'm praying for a son, but I'm at the same time, I want my son to all his days walk after you. All his days, I want him to serve you. And so I'm going to do some things that remind me and him along the way that he's dedicated to the Lord, that I pledged him to you, that I vowed that all his life he will serve and follow you." And so she prayed for a son. Then she said this, "I will give him the Lord all the days of his life." She not only obligated the child, but she obligated herself, and that's a big deal. Yeah. The not cutting the hair was a sign, a reminder to herself, and a reminder to her whole family. We're not trying to make a doctrine here for today's people, but you know what? That's the style out there anyway. The big deal in all of this is that Hannah intended to help her son serve God. Hannah wanted to bless God. Her devotion to God would not only be to raise that son, but then to make sure that he served God all the days of his life. And she did that in a lot of ways. And so moms, today, the gift that you are, the awesome gift that you are, part of that gift is to help your children be devoted to God all the way. That's a big deal to God. And so in order to do that, one of the things that, a mom needs to do is she needs to be so devoted to God that he sees her all the days of his life being faithful in worship. Being that she would literally sing and praise God before him during his lifetime. That she be an example of godly living in her life. That she would be an example of humble service in her church and the things of the Lord. That she would teach him the Bible. There are a lot of parents today that would say, well, we just want our kids to go the way they want to go. That's not what God's word says. God's word tells us to raise them up in the way they should go. In other words, knowing what it is that God wants for their lives and speak it. And speak it loud and clear and show it with their lives. And so, you know, the big deal is there are lots of, I go into even Bible bookstores and I see children's books. And they're not all godly books. But one of the best things that you can do is find those that refer to Bible stories in the Bible, brought down to pint-sized ways of teaching, and have the children, it's fun to have your kids have their favorite books, but they're the story of David and Goliath or whatever. And so the children are being constantly taught stories from the Word of God in a way they can understand them. So moms, the Bible talks a lot about you loving your kids, loving your children. But one of the most important ways of loving your children is to help them be devoted to Almighty God. So we set that example, don't we? Of faithful worship, of godly living, of a humble service, of Bible teaching. On it goes. Let's look at Timothy's life for a minute. You knew we'd probably get to it on Mother's Day. So 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 5. Paul's speaking in his second letter to Timothy here. And he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. It's interesting, isn't it, that he didn't talk about the young man. He didn't talk about the young man's dad. Although his dad does get mentioned in the Word of God. But he talks about the mother's teaching. That's part of the gift of motherhood, the gift of mom. And as that little fellow on the screen said earlier, that's a wow. The whole situation is this, that moms have it within them as they walk after the things of the Lord, to be sure to want to bring that child up so that it will serve God. And so you got to hear, there's a word there used that's pretty neat. And so Timothy had genuine faith because of mother and grandma's faith. And the Bible shows us that they taught him the Word of God from infancy. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 14. But you must remain faithful, Timothy, to the things you've been taught. You know they're true for you. Now you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. It's a big deal what we do with our children. It's really a big deal. And if mom is serving God, if mom is really after the things of the Lord, that comes as part of the gift of mom. You can hardly help yourself from sharing your faith with your children. It's part of the gift. And moms have a greater opportunity to teach God's word to the children than dads do. A much greater opportunity. And God will express that through mother to the children. She's got an opportunity to bring Bible stories about God, to show them her prayer, how she's praying with the children. And they hear her prayers. And growing up, over and over again, hear her praying for them. And it causes them to want to pray. They experience the genuine love of God through her to them. They learn obedience from her to them. All kinds of values are expressed by the gift of mom, such as honesty and all of that. Moms have an opportunity to make story time Bible time. And that's a really neat thing and something that we ought to want to express as families, and the gift of mom have that for us. How many remember their mother? You know, my mother did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as her personal Savior until much later in life. But I can still remember my mother teaching me Bible stories. I can still remember my mother praying for me. Even though she didn't have a relationship with God at the time, she still prayed for me. And I remember being taught Bible things like, you know, honesty and all of those things along the way. Being taught, even though she didn't have a relationship yet with God, those things were in her. Now, of course, she had Christian parents. And so she had been taught that on the way up. I think it's part of the gift of mom. I believe mom is a gift, not just something that happens. I believe God made it so. And he instilled, there's something on the inside. I could call it an anointing, couldn't I? That moms have. And you know what? I've watched over the years now, Joan, and I think to myself, you know what? We're to raise up those, we're to rear up, if you like, we're to train up those children. And I know that I bear a great responsibility there. The man, the father does, but I tell you what, there's something special when you watch your wife minister to your children. There, you can see the gift. It's an awesome gift. I tell you what, sometimes it wants to make me weep when I see her with the kids, and I'm sure men can appreciate what I'm talking about today. It's a gift from God. So, Allison, would you come to the piano for me this morning? I want to change direction for a minute and then come back to the gift of mom. I want to tell you about the gifts that came into our lives in the last week. We had an opportunity this last week to head off to the National Convention of Canadian Fellowship of Churches and Ministers in the southern part of Ontario. It's been a long time since Joan and I were able to get away and just sit under the word for a week. That's what happened. The first thing that happened was that we walked into a building, a new building, that's been erected for that church down there. We have 178,000 feet here. That building, that newly erected building, has 132,000 square feet on the main floor. We loaded it. We had all kinds of pastors from the PAOC and OBFF and CFCM, and first about the building. All the way along here, all we've had, not that I'm discounting that, but all we've had was the vision from God and pushed ahead in it and done with the help of our architect and all of you. We've been pressing ahead to complete the vision. All we've had is grace too, haven't we? But what fun to be able to go into a building that's just finished now. And see many of the things there that God's shown us. Not having ever had an opportunity to go to a building like that that was finished and see the result of all their work. It's kind of neat to see they had some things that we didn't have, and we have some things they don't have. It's like God designed their building for what they're doing, and He designed our building for what we're about to do. It encouraged me a lot in the spirit and in the natural to be able to see that building finished, the class and the style that was there. And I thought, we just have a short way to go. A lot of finishing touches, you know. There'll be a lot of finishing touches here that they already have in place. They built their building in two stages. And so they have one part of the building that's had now a couple of years of little finishing touches, and there's new parts to the building that you can still see need a picture here, need some things there, and all of that, but it's all together. And then to bring three denominations or fellowships together, that's a major deal. God told us to do that. The very first evening, all of us together praising God, the speaker said, "There's the Holy Spirit." And he was sure right. In all of my life, I've never experienced an ushering in of the Spirit of the living God, of the presence of God, so uniquely and so wow. I've never experienced, it was like everybody could say, "There, he just arrived. The Holy Spirit's here." And it was like that. It was like an ushering in. And our guest speaker that evening, who was John Bevere. How many know who John Bevere is? When John Bevere said, "The Holy Spirit's here," boy, did he mean the Holy Spirit was there. And as he spoke that evening, he said, "It's because of the unity." The unity had been released into the room. Wow. We've experienced it here, but it showed me things to come. Wow. The whole meeting showed me things that were to come. Talked about things that were to come. John Bevere spent that evening talking to us about the Holy Spirit of God and how we kind of treat the Holy Spirit of God as an it instead of a person. And how that if we spent more time with that person, wonderful things would happen in our lives. On the second night of the conference, and in the morning as well, we heard the man that heads up the PAOC, a wonderful friend of Joan's and mine. We came to know them and spent a week with them down in Virginia Beach here a year or so ago. And so it was wonderful to hear David Wells again. By the way, one of the things that was such a blessing to us is that years ago, CFCM, we laid hands on and sent Rick Ciamentero out, knowing that he would lead a powerful organization called OBFF, Open Bible Faith Fellowship. And a lot of our friends went with them, which we knew was going to happen when it all took place. And so we were together with hundreds and hundreds of men and women, ministers of the gospel, to be able to reunite and come back into fellowship and unity again was so wonderful and so awesome. And the power of God was so rich in the rooms as we fellowshiped together. What was the name of the prophet lady in the end, Joan?
Barbara Yoder.
Barbara Yoder. Have any of you heard of Barbara Yoder? Well, Barbara ministered to us twice. And she talked about Canada. This lady has a powerful, powerful vision of Canada. Loves coming back to Canada. She made a commitment to come to be with us. And we don't know the date yet, but she's going to get back at us with the date. But she said it could be as early as August here. So we'll believe God, our building's all finished upstairs for her to arrive. She spoke about a very unique Canada. She talked about Canada in a better way than I've heard Canadians talk about Canada. She talked about the special, special call that God has for Canada and the whole world today. And she related it, by the way, to the stand that our Prime Minister has made to stand with Israel. In the days ahead, there's an election coming. And she talked about how the Christians needed to understand that the future of Canada rests with us having a leader that will glorify God and back Israel's hand in the world today.
Amen.
We were thrilled with all that she had to say. It was wonderful. I come back refreshed. Even though it was a conference that was jam-packed night and day, there was a refreshing that came, and I'm thankful to all of you that we could go. Back to the gift of Mom. Happy Mother's Day. To all of those who have been, to those that are grandparents, and to those that are waiting to be. Happy Mother's Day. But in the middle of all of that, I want to honor God, because He made the gift of Mom. He developed the gift of Mom to work together with what He desired for His kingdom. He wanted a bunch of blessings walking around. You're all blessings. So as today unfolds, let me remind you, we need to celebrate the gift of God today. One day out of the year that we do so, it's a good time to do it. Mother's Day. Lord God, thank you today for all the gifts of God that are here. Thank you, Lord, for moms and grandmoms and great-grandmoms. Thank you, Lord, for all that you put within that gift, that our children and grandchildren would grow up to be what you planned for them, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that there's ongoing training going on by moms of their young women growing up, so that they too could be gifts of God. So we call our moms blessed today. We say that they are above and not beneath all the situations of life. And this day, they're remembered. And they remember that they're gifts and blessed of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know everybody that's with us here today. But I do know that part of what I'm to do and what we're all to do is to share our faith with one another. We're to share with others how wonderful it is to serve Jesus. How wonderful it is to have a special relationship with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. I know that we're to share that we can have victory over every situation in life when we know Jesus. Knowing Jesus doesn't mean that we never have any trouble or that we're always perfect. It just means that we have an awesome power available to us and a wonderful love as we walk through life with Jesus. So then I know it's our job, my job, to say this to one and all. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you don't know Him in your heart, and through Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you ought to make Him welcome in your heart. Way back when I asked Jesus into my heart, this came up on the inside of me, and I've never forgotten it. It was presented by my friend John Sissons, who was speaking at the full gospel meeting I was at that night. And he said it, and it came up in my heart just like that. What have I got to lose? When somebody says, you ought to invite Jesus into your heart, make Him your Lord, make Him your Savior, you know. What have you got to lose? If you don't have a relationship with Him, you have a lot to lose by not receiving Him. Anyway, this is the offer this morning. God's into relationships, and He's into a specific relationship. He wants you to have a relationship with His Son and with the Holy Spirit of God. So He made a way. He said, through the foolishness of preaching, well, here's this foolish preacher asking you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Come into a relationship with Him. Say, Jesus, come on into my heart. That's all you have to do. I believe on You, Jesus. I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died for me and for my sin and my sins. Come into my heart now. I need You. I need You to be my Lord, my Savior. Come into my heart, please. And you know what? You'll come in. You'll come in and dwell within you. All you need to do is say it. So those that will this morning, say these simple words. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I need You. Every hour I need You. Come and be my Lord. Come and be my Savior. Live with me. Show me how to live. And I know by my faith that my God won't let me down. Jesus will come in. And even as I say these words, is resident on the inside of me. And I can trust that when I let Him, He'll be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that prayer and asked him into your heart just now, and you did it for the first time or recommitted yourself to Jesus today, just hold up your hand so I can see. Say, I see that hand. If you pray it or say it someplace later on, make sure you tell somebody. Come on, Joan.